ಆನಂದಮಾಸಕಲಯಾ ಮುಹುರ್ಧ್ಯಮಾನ ವಿಕ್ಲಿದ್ಯಮಾನ ಹೃದಯ
ಪುಲಕಾಚಿದಾಂಗಾತ್ಮಾನ
ಅಸ್ಮರತ್ ಅಸಾ ಇದು ಮುಕ್ತಲಿಂಗ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಹರ ಭಗವತಿ ಪ್ರವಹನ್ನಜಸ್ರಂ ಆನಂದ ಬಾಷ್ಪಕಲಯ ಮೋರಜ್ಯಮಾನ ವಿಕ್ಲಿಪ್ಯಮಾನ ಹೃದಯ ಪ್ರಕಾಶಿತಾಂಗೋ ಆತ್ಮಸ್ಮರದಸಾವಿತಿ ಮುಕ್ತಲಿಂಗ
Again and again.
Muktalinga,
freed from the subtle body. Translation: because of transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes, his heart melted, and there was shivering, standing hair all over his body. Thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and thus immediately liberated from material bondage. Prabhupada, due to constant engagement, devotional service, stream chanting, remembering, worshipping the deity, etc., as described in 9 varieties, there are different symptoms which appear in the body of a devotee. These 8 bodily transformations, which indicate that a devotee is already liberated within himself, are called astasattvika vikara. When a devotee completely forgets his bodily existence, he should be understood to be liberated. He is no longer engaged in the body. An example is given that when a coconut becomes equally dry, the coconut pulp within the coconut shell separates from the bondage of the cell and outer covering. By moving the dry coconut, one can hear that the pulp within it is no longer attached to the shell of the covering. Similarly, when one is fully absorbed in devotional service, he is completely disconnected from the 2 material coverings, the subtle and gross body. Dhruva Maharaj actually attained this stage of life by constantly discharging devotional service. It has already been described as Mahabhagavata, or unless one becomes a Mahabhagavata first class spirit devotee, these symptoms are not visible. Lord Chaitanya exhibited all these symptoms, Haridas Thakur also exhibited them. And there are many pure devotees who manifest such bodily symptoms. They are not to be imitated, but when one is actually advanced, these symptoms are exhibited. At that time, it is to be understood that a devotee is materially free. Of course, in the beginning of devotional service, the path of liberation opens, just as the coconut taken from the tree immediately begins to dry. It simply takes some time for the shell and pulp to separate from one another. An important word in this verse is muktalinga. Mukta means liberated, and linga means subtle body. When a man dies, he quits the gross body, but the subtle body of mind and hellish ego carries him to a new body. When existing in the present body, the same subtle body carries him from one stage of life to another by mental development. The mental condition of a baby is different from that of a boy, the mental condition of a boy is different from that of a young man, the mental condition of a young man is different from that of an old man. So at death, the process of changing bodies takes place in the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, and ego carry the soul from one gross body to another. This is called transmigration of the soul. But there is another stage when one becomes liberated even from the subtle body. At that time, the living entity is completely and fully prepared be transferred to the transcendental spiritual world. Description of the bodily symptoms of Sri Dhruva Maharaj makes it apparent that he became perfectly fit in the transcendental spiritual world. One can experience the distinction between the subtle and the gross bodies even daily. In a dream, one's gross body is lying on the bed while the subtle body carries the soul and the living energy to another atmosphere. Because the gross body has to be continued, the subtle body comes back and settles in the present gross body. Therefore, one has to become free from the subtle body also. This freedom is known as Muktalinga. Text 19, as soon as the symptoms of liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the sky. The brilliant and full moon were coming down, illuminating all ten directions. There are different levels of acquired knowledge, direct knowledge, knowledge of seasonal authorities, transcendental knowledge, knowledge beyond the senses, upon the spiritual knowledge. When one surpasses the stage of acquired knowledge by the descending process, he is immediately situated in the transcendental platform. Dhruva Maharaj, being liberated from the material concept of life, was situated in transcendental knowledge and perceived the presence of a transcendental airplane, which was as brilliant as full moon light. This is not possible in the stage of direct or indirect conception of knowledge. This knowledge is a special favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can, however, arise at this platform of knowledge by the gradual process of advancement in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Translation, because of his transcendental bliss, incessant tears flowed from his eyes, his heart melted, and was shivering his standing hairs all over his body, thus transformed in a trance of devotional service, Rupa Maharaj, because it forgot his bodily existence, and thus he immediately became liberated from material bondage. As soon as the symptoms of liberation were manifest, he saw a very beautiful airplane coming down from the skies, a brilliant full moon coming down, illuminating all the ten directions. So the result of his emotional service is described here. First, he describes that he did this bowing to the Supreme Lord. He was constantly engaged in this process. And then the symptoms appear in terms of bliss from tears and hair standing on end, etc. And his heart melted. So these symptoms become somewhat visible on the stage of bhava. There is described the heart melts to some degree, and these symptoms become visible to some degree. There are also stages of these symptoms which are described in the Nectar of Devotion in four stages. So there may be a little bit of Saptika Bhava, there may be more, maybe more, and then there may be full manifestation, very intense. So at the beginning stages there are a few symptoms, and they're not very long-lasting. Then as the intensity of prema increases, more symptoms appear, and they're more long-lasting, until all the symptoms become visible suddenly in the body for a long period of time. So in this way, there are various intensities of the sattvika bhavas also. So this corresponds to the various levels of perfection from bhava all the way through different stages of prema. So this is distinct from what is called the sattva abhas, which is a reflection of the sattvika bhavas, which people who do not have bhava or prema may show. So sometimes they may cry or shiver or faint on the ground, even though they really don't have bhava. So this is called bhava bhas. It is of two forms. One is pure imitation, where one can act very nicely and shiver and cry, even if one does not have bhava. So that is condemned. It is not proper to imitate, usually for show and money, etc. The other is because a person has some sentiments for the Lord, he may also cry or faint. He may because of extreme emotions. So that also is not the stage of bhava, but nevertheless some shadow symptoms may appear. So the real symptoms will actually only appear on the stage of bhava, and in that stage one will also have a perception of the Supreme Lord. One will be able to see the Lord directly. Of course we see that Dhruva already saw the Lord when he was 5 years old. So he already accomplished that stage of seeing the Lord directly. So here again, after his retirement and he's going to the Himalayas, he practiced devotional service again. Of course it describes that he went into samadhi with yoga process, but this verse describes his main process, which is constant bhakti. So because of that constant bhakti, then these symptoms began to appear. So this is also a symptom of when one comes to the stage of bhava, at that stage finally, ahankara also is destroyed. So if ahankara is destroyed, that means that the subtle body no longer functions to keep us in the material world. It's like the physical body is present, the subtle body also may be present, but it does not create a real impediment for the devotee at that stage. Because the ahankara and the mind don't function negatively anymore. So here it's described he was mukta linga. But of course we already know that from a young age he was very, very pure. So we should not think that he wasn't pure and then he had to become pure. But we can think of this as simply a manifestation of his devotion, and that's all. He was already free of his subtle body or whatever. In other words, he was qualified because for darshan of the Lord, which happens in the next verse, where the Vishnu Dutas appear. One can only meet the Lord if one is free from the subtle body and the gross body. In other words, there's no connection there at all. One is completely detached from those two things. This verse is there to show that he was qualified with complete devotion. And because of the complete devotion, material ideas and concepts that are ahankara, etc., were no longer present. So therefore he was highly qualified. And with that qualification, then he was able to contact the Lord directly. So that is why in the stage of bhava, one can see the Lord, and then a person prema, even more so. The difference is that in bhava, one does not see the Lord much. It's not a constant. And the symptoms of sakita bhava are not present all the time, only occasionally. In prema, then one can see the Lord more often and more constantly, and what the symptoms of sakita bhava appear more often. So prema actually is the perfect stage. And bhava is the stage where one is not 100% pure, but one's devotion is at a level where one is qualified to see the Lord in spite of that, having some small impurities or whatever. So that's the difference. We'll see also in this Bharat, he had a similar experience. He was in the forest and he began to have symptoms, and he actually saw the form of Vishnu as a result of his sadhana. But we see that he actually fell after that, and he forgot the Lord, and then he became a deer in his next life. So the stage of bhava is not 100% pure, and one can fall from that stage. Okay? If one comes to prema, however, then one does not fall from that stage. So we see that Dhruva ultimately attained that stage where he was
guarantee the place in Rupa Loka and in the spiritual world. So he surpassed Bhava, in other words, and he actually attained Prema, the Supreme Lord. So that is the significance of this explanation here. So his other descriptions of his performing sacrifices and ruling the world, those are all secondary actions which he did as a matter of duty, and they in no way compare with his devotion. And even though in the previous verse it describes he did yoga, yama, niyama, asana, pratyahara, dharana, jnana, and samadhi, we should also not think that that is a qualification for seeing the Lord. His real qualification is simply the bhakti. And the other actions were there simply to satisfy others. He did his other activities according to dharma, and he also performed yoga, but ultimately his qualification for the Lord was simply the bhakti. And even if he did not do the other things, still he was successful, and the Lord wouldn't come. So therefore we should put the emphasis here on devotion. That is the main element of his qualification.
How is mind and intelligence differentiated from each other? Where do they reside? Where do they reside?
Where do they reside in subtle body?
How is that they are differentiated, mind and intelligence?
Intelligence is discriminating in power.
Mind is emotions and things like that. Like and dislike.
When the soul goes to the spiritual world, and what about the subtle body?
No, God. Of course that does not mean we cannot think or be intelligent in the spiritual world. No? But we don't have this, the subtle body is material. Material mind, ego, intelligence, prana, this is all part of the subtle body. So these we don't go with us in the spiritual world. They hold us in the material world. Mind is in the material world.
There's no
subtle body
there.
No. There's a mukta linga, it's freed from the subtle body.
Okay,
yeah, so I want us to be free from that and go to the spiritual world. Do not take a false ego to the spiritual world.
What about intelligence and mind?
Same. Those are material elements. But, of course, the soul is naturally intelligent. Has emotion, but it's all within the Atma.
And within the second body, step one of the second body, we travel to another realm.
Yeah, it's possible. We have ghosts and things like that.
Rudra Sushin Bhagavatam Ki Jai. महाराज की जय जयेंद्र जी भक्त सबसे प्रभुपाल की जय दोस्त मन
Thank you. Krishna, Krishna.